Good evening. Once again, we count it a privilege to be with you and to be able to share together from God's Word. As a worker, we wish to acknowledge the presence of other ministering brothers, our brother McHale, who opened in prayer, and our brother Arthur Vince, who's known to most of us, if not all of us, and our brother, brother Lacey, brother Mark, I could have forget your name, and brother Mark, we have a church of preachers tonight, but we're glad to see all of you and to be privileged to be able to fellowship with you at this time. I'm going to ask that you turn to Psalm number 133. For those of you who have been coming other Sunday evenings, you would remember that we have been, like we mentioned this morning about Isaiah, we have been walking through the Psalms. Not chronologically, but as we feel exercised before the Lord, we have been sharing from the book of Psalms. One of the wonderful things about the book of Psalms is has a lot to do with experiences. And so when you read the Psalms, invariably you would get help for whatever circumstance you might find yourself in, or whatever experience you might be going through. It's one of the wonderful things about the Psalms. We want to encourage you to read the Psalms. Matter of fact, this is our interest in sharing with you to encourage you along the Christian pathway. This is a very short Psalm, Psalm 133, but as Brother William MacDonald says, packed with meaning. Verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, like the dew of Hermon, and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I'm sure the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. Someone has said that the most lethal weapon in the hands of the Christian community is the weapon of unity. It is fundamental to any appreciable sacrifice. You cannot read the Word of God. You cannot even look in history without noting how God has worked through his people who have been together, who have sought to dwell together in unity in the things of himself. It's believed that the background to this particular psalm is the uniting of all of Israel under David. For you would remember there was a point in David's rulership where he was only king over Judah. There was a division, of course, and because of those who followed Saul and their interest, there was a maintenance of that division for a while, and there was even civil war among them. But Abner, if you remember, came to David, and he came to David for the reason of bringing the nation together, uniting the tribes, uniting all of Israel together. And it's believed that this is the background to this particular psalm, because they did come together, and David's throne was moved from Hebron to Jerusalem when he became king over all the people of Israel. And I would imagine as David saw this, as he noted the people dwelling together in unity, how his heart must have been moved and thrilled to write this psalm. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's believed that this is the psalm that Hezekiah used very often when the people came together during the Passover feast, because it is a wonderful experience. It is a wonderful blessing when God's people dwell together in unity. This is why when you come to the New Testament, you note the exhortation by the Apostle Paul and others in relation to the people of God dwelling together in unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses, Paul says that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavor is a strong word. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because Paul knew the blessing of this being together, the striving together for the faith of the gospel, as he wrote to the Philippian church, as he sought to encourage them to strive together, to stand together in the gospel and in the word of God. When we come to Philippians chapter 2, the first four verses of Philippians chapter 2, as Paul talks about being concerned about each other, that's the emphasis, that of being together. He says, be concerned about each other. Don't look at your own things, but look upon the things of others. And if all of us do this, there would be a very happy union amongst us, a time of, or a situation of the kind of fellowship that we believe commands the blessings of Almighty God. And so, there is the exhortation. Now you only have to read 1 Corinthians to note the effect that disunity would have among the people of God. We are told about the church in Corinth, the first few verses of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. We are told that they came behind in no gift. They were well informed, well taught, but we find them divided. And all the havoc that took place in that church there in Corinth, so much so that eventually they were threatening each other with court suits, apart from all the other situations that existed. And you know, I believe that because of this disunity, the church at Corinth made very little impact eventually upon the community. And it's because of this disunity. And so Paul, when he writes to them, and he seeks to speak to them concerning the importance of being together. Now, when we look a little closer at this psalm, there are a few things we wish to leave with you. Number one, we want to leave with you the basis of unity. The basis of unity. Note what it says. Behold or look, take a close look at it, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now the basis of unity here is brethren. It's this relationship that is a unique one. Now, of course, speaking to Israel, or speaking about Israel, there was a national identity. There was a national unity that was being referred to here. And the psalmist, David, referred to them as brethren. Now, when you come to the New Testament, you note that the word brethren really means, basically means, womb. Like a woman's womb. When we think of a woman's womb, we think of birth. We think of procreation. And when we think of procreation, we think of people coming into a family by birth. Now, when we think of that in the spiritual, we can only come into the family of God. We can only be numbered with the brethren. And of course, I'm not talking about a denomination now. I'm talking about the people of God. You can only become a part of the brethren by being born again. Now, this is why it is so important for people to be born again who become a part of a local expression of the overall Church of Jesus Christ. It's important that they recognize that there is only one way to become a part of the family of God, and that is by the new birth. This is why the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." This is fundamental to a relationship with God our Father, and a relationship to each other from a spiritual point of view. And so, they have to be born again. Now, you might be here tonight and you're not a Christian. Well, that simply means you're not born again. And if you're not born again, you're not in the family of God. Now, we would like for you to be. We believe God's greatest interest is for you to become a part of the family of God. And let me say to you, there is no greater relationship than that of being a part of the family of God. This is greater than even our human relationship, husband and wife and parents, fathers and mothers, or our children, brothers and sisters in the flesh. This supersedes that kind of relationship. You see, because a human relationship will end. A family relationship will end. But you see, when you become a part of the family of God, that never ends. You see, death doesn't end that relationship. Eternity doesn't end that relationship. Matter of fact, it makes it more outstanding. This is why it is so wonderful to be a brother in the Lord, to be saved by the grace of God. And so, it's because of the new birth. It's because of being saved that we are brethren, and this is the basis of the unity that we find in this psalm. Note, when one is born again, we become possessors of the same life. The Bible says we become partakers of the divine nature. That's marvelous. That means that you and I have God's life in us. That makes us different from everybody else in the world. Now, I know we don't like to say that we're different, but we are, aren't we? We are. We belong to the Lord, and we have the Lord's life in us. And that's a marvelous thing, and that's common. That's true to all of us who are saved. We are possessors of the same life. Now, this is why, you know, this is why when you meet a Christian and you've never met them before, but you've met them, and after a few moments, it's like you knew them all your life. There is such a commonality, and it's because of the fact that we are all possessors of the divine life, of the same life, the life of God Himself. And we are told by John in his first epistle, they that have the Son of God have life. And so we have the Son, so we have this life that's common to us all. But not only do we possess the same life, but we share the same love. Because the Bible says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And so we share the same love, God's love, because we are brethren, we are in God's family. But also, we own the same Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, there is one Lord. Let me read it, the entire verse in your hearing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. I'm going to read verse 4, and it says, there is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. And so, we possess the same Lord. We have or own the same Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And so, as brethren, we have the same life, possess the same life, we share the same love, we own the same Lord. There's an interesting verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. I want to read that in your hearing. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. This is what it says. Chapter 8 verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. And so we own the same Lord. We belong to the same one, to the same Lord. And we have the same Father. It's very interesting as well as precious that on the day of resurrection, when Mary tarried longer in the garden in brokenness, because she had supposed taken away her Lord. And so eventually the Lord Jesus appeared to her, and she was so overwhelmed, she went to embrace Him, and He said to her, don't you touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. I ascend to my Father and your Father. And so we own or have the same Father. We have the same Father. And when we think of the fatherhood of God, we're not thinking of it as most people would think of the fatherhood of God as being father of all our mankind. But we think of the fatherhood of God in that unique way of his being the father of all those who are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the fatherhood we are thinking about. And as such, as father, he has pledged to care for us. This is the image of father in the scriptures. The image of father in the scriptures is primarily care. For he careth for you as his children. And so, the basis of this unity then is brethren, is being born again, is being saved. Now you will note that when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in verse 10 of chapter 1, he uses the word brethren. He uses the word brethren. Let's look at it. Chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now I sense a note of sarcasm here as Paul writes to them. Because you see, when Paul said to them, when he says to them, I beseech you, brethren, they should know exactly what he means. And they cannot really be thought of as they should be as brethren and noting division among them. And so Paul, I believe, is throwing in a note of sarcasm here, and he's saying, I beseech you, brethren, and they know they are divided, and they're not living in unity as brethren. He says, I beseech you, brethren. And in that verse, he is challenging them to what brethren really stand for. Togetherness. Unity. New life. New relationship, new master, new father, and so forth, and so on. And so, the basis of this unity then is, in this verse, is the fact of being one. One in our context today, one in the Lord. And of course here, one as Israelites, but one in the Lord. But note also, not only the basis of this unity, but note the blessing of this unity. The blessing of this unity. It says in verse 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You can almost feel David's emotion as he writes. You can almost see perhaps as he looks over the kingdom and he notes the vast number. Perhaps there was a special gathering that day when all the nation, perhaps representatives of the nation, had gathered together and they made David king over the entire nation of Israel. And he could see in his mind's eye through these representatives all the nation together. My, that must have been a wonderful feeling. Perhaps his emotions overcame him. And he could say, perhaps to the folks sitting by him, he said, look, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me tell you, beloved, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It is good. It is pleasant when believers, when brethren dwell together in unity. And so the blessing of unity. You see, one of the blessings of this unity is the experience of communion. Now over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, we read these words. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, spoke together, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." There is a blessing of communion together, sharing together in communion. Sharing together in communion. It's a wonderful thing when you can sit and share together in the things of God, talking over the truths of the Word of God, reveling in the grace of God together. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Sometimes you visit people and they do not seem to have that kind of interest. And when you leave such company, you leave kind of dry and kind of disappointed. But sometimes when you visit and you spend time talking about the things of God, sharing the Word of God and talking about spiritual things, it does something to you, does it not? Well, if it does something to us, just think how much more it does to the heart of God, as it was in Malachi. You see, they spoke together, the Lord heard it. It doesn't say they were talking to the Lord. They were talking one to another, but the Lord was eavesdropping, huh? You know, listening in on their conversation. And the Bible says he hearkened and he heard. He was blessed. He was glad of what he heard. And so, beloved, there are blessings in unity, that of communion, also that of fellowship. That of fellowship. Now, I've made a difference between communion and fellowship here. And in Acts chapter 2, it tells us that the early Christians, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Now, of course, the fellowship was not the communion service that we call the Lord's Supper. They had that too, but the fellowship here seemed to indicate that they had times together when they shared together over a common meal and so forth and so on. And so this is one of the blessings of unity among the people of God. And I know you do that here periodically. The fact that you sit down and you share together around a common meal, which is good. Often, you know, in today's society when everybody seems to be so busy, you don't have time, it seems, to even get to know other believers. After a service, you shake hands, and when the preacher says amen, everybody's waiting for that, and then we take off, and we sometimes don't see each other until the next service, or the next Sunday, whatever the case might be. And so there isn't that forum where you can spend time in fellowship together. But thank God for the provisions that you have made to some degree to have this. When you have little fellowship around a meal here, you can sit down and you can talk together and share together over the things of Christ. Now, this is what happened among the early church. And beloved, it was because of this kind of relationship, it was because of this kind of fellowship, that the community was moved, that the community was challenged. And so when the message was preached, the message that the community believed brought these people together like this, It was effective. And the Bible tells us that many obeyed the word of God. And so this is one of the blessings of being together. The psalmist says, it's good and it's pleasant. Also, a blessing of worship. We worship together our blessed Lord. Where two or three are gathered together. In my name, there am I in the midst. And he's in our midst when we come together. And it's wonderful to know that. That when you gather together to worship, the Lord is there. He's here tonight. We do not have to pray for him to be here. He is here. He says, where two or three are gathered, I am there. Sometimes we pray that the Lord would come in our midst. Now I believe I know what we mean when we pray that prayer. We're not saying, Lord, you are not here. Because theologically it's true, he's here. That's a theological fact, because the Bible says it. But what we really mean, Lord, we want you to come amongst us in blessing. We want to see evidences of your blessing, of your presence. And we pray that especially in the gospel and in other services as well, because the blessings of the Lord are not just in people being saved. You know that, don't you? But it's in other aspects or other ways in our lives. As our brother mentioned, he never comes to a service without being blessed. You know, this is one of the reasons why I do not like to miss a service. Sometimes I'm not preaching anywhere. And I go to service. My wife says, man, you're not preaching anywhere. This is a good time for you to rest. I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. I just feel I'm going to miss a blessing. And I don't want to miss blessing. I say what someone said some time ago, that he is a hall for divine blessings. Pardon the expression, but listen, I'm a hall for divine blessings. I want God's blessing, and I do not want to be absent from anywhere when I believe the blessings are going to fall. And so, the psalmist said, it's good and it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when we gather to worship the Lord, oh, what a blessing. What a thrill to know that he's in our midst. And by the Spirit is going from heart to heart and from seat to seat. And sometimes we come weighed down with heavy burden. Then the Spirit of God ministers to us and we go home and we feel so much different. I was talking with a sister just matter of fact, on Wednesday night, after Thursday night, after service here, I went by Abundant Life because they had a united rally in relation to the crusade, updating the crusade and hearing from the various committee heads and so forth, sort of getting things in perspective. So I rushed over there, and after the service, Sister came up to me and we were chatting for a while. And I remember I was ministering at their assembly. And she said to me, she said, oh, Brother Tom, she said, when I came to church tonight, oh, I was so down because of so many things. And she just spelled them off. But she said, you know, I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came because as we went through the prayer time and as we worshiped the Lord and shared together from the Word of God, I feel so much better. And a lot of us, sometimes we come and some loved one is under the weather and we are burdened for them. We are concerned about them. Someone is sick and we come and we wait before God. And when we leave differently. Because it is a blessing. When we gather together in the house of God to worship God. because he's in our midst. And I believe, beloved, I believe that if we come to remember or to worship God, he will not let us go without blessing us. I do not believe he would allow us to go out of those doors without blessing us. Oh, how good the psalmist says, and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, because there are blessings. There are blessings. Not only the blessing of communion, the blessing of fellowship, the blessing of worship, but there's also the blessing of protection. Protection. And of help of each other. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. And we note the blessings of God when we are together. The protection of God spiritually as we gather together. But quickly, let's note the manifestation of this unity. Now, of course, the few notes I have here is not exhaustive in no sense of the word, and perhaps there are other things that you can add, and but this is to whet your appetite and to help to get your mind thinking. But there are manifestations of this unity. And when we think of the church then, we think of the fact of laboring together for the Lord. The Bible says we are laborers together. And when we labor together, we manifest unity. We have been talking about from the book of Nehemiah, and for the past couple, matter of fact, last week, we talked about the building of the gates. We talked also, of course, from chapter 2, Nehemiah, or rather chapter 3, we talked about Nehemiah dividing up the walls in sections so everybody could be involved. Everybody could be involved, and they build together. One didn't build, and when he was finished his section, the other started, and so forth. That would have taken so long to do, but they worked together. Each one built his section side by side, and they built the wall so quickly and so well, because they labored together. And when we labor together in the gospel, in the local church, the same thing is true. This is what Paul said to the folk in Corinth. You must strive together, rather Philippi, you must strive together for the faith of the gospel. The gospel's effectiveness will be seen in your movement together, in your serving together, in your proclamation together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, another means of challenging the division that was in Corinth, he says, don't you know that we are laborers together with God? And if you be a sectarian and have your little group over here and your little group over there and your little group over there in the same church, you could understand what adverse effect this would have upon the ministry of the church. And so striving together, we labor together. One of the things about the mission field, one of the things about the mission field is that this was one of the things that they practiced, laboring together. And by that I mean not just people from the same denomination. You see, the mission board got people from whoever offered for missions, for missionary work. They applied to the mission board, and so they, if they met the qualifications, they were accepted. And so they came from various denominations. And so they labored together. I understand in areas where they did not labor together, the work had very little effect. Because if there is one thing that the unsaved notices, is that of disunity among God's people. Be it in a local church setting or Christendom in general. They recognize division, and right away, when you try to share with them, oh, they say, but you all are divided. And so one of the basis for success in the mission field has been these folk from various denominations, because of the fact that they were born again, working together, striving together, laboring together for God, and seeing the Lord's blessings upon them. And so, the manifestation of this unity is seen in their laboring together. It will be seen in our laboring together. Oh, it's like someone has said, when you labor together, it's like a piano where all the keys are operating and putting out a beautiful harmony, wonderful music that gladdens the soul. And if music does this, think how much laboring and living and serving together in the things of Christ. But not only is it manifested in our laboring together, but also in our gathering together with the saints. Now the Word of God tells us we are not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now one of the things that the devil continues to seek to do is to affect adversely the togetherness of God's people. Oh, he wants to do that, and it's amazing. It's amazing how successful he is many times in many situations. But we are to, unity is manifested in our gathering together. And we are not to neglect this. Of course, Hebrews tells us that we are to do it so much the more as we see the day approaching. And that's the day of the coming of the Lord. We do believe the coming of the Lord is very near. We can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And beloved, we are to gather together. This is one of the ways of manifesting this unity, like tonight, coming out and gathering as God's people in the house of God. And also it's manifested in our praying together. In our praying together. It says in Acts chapter 1 that they were together in the upper room praying together when the blessing of the Spirit came. And so when you note throughout the scriptures, you note a lot of praying together. A lot of praying together. I was sharing with a brother, visiting a full-time worker, and we were talking, had some time of prayer, and we talked about getting together on a kind of regular basis for prayer, and he said, you know, there is more in the Bible about praying together than praying individually. And there's something about praying together. Praying together. Back in the Old Testament, you remember, Hezekiah went into the presence of God, but not before he sent word to Isaiah to join him in prayer. Isaiah might not have been there to the temple where he was, but wherever Isaiah was, he invited him to join him together in prayer. praying together. It is so, so important, so vital, and so effective. As we pray together, Acts chapter 12 is a case in point. When they prayed together for Peter's deliverance, blessing came. And other illustrations or examples in the New Testament. I'm going to close. Note the results of this unity. The results of this unity. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, like the dew of Hermon, like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You see, a few results of this unity is, first of all, the church being a positive example to the world. The church being a positive example to the world. And that's tremendous. When we think of Abraham and Lot, you remember there was a little conflict. Abraham, it is said that the Canaanites and the Perizzites and all of those were in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, "Lot, we are brothers. We are brothers. And because we are brothers, we have to be careful the picture we give these people. We have to be careful how they see us. They must see us unified. And so don't let us fight. If you want to go to the north, I'll go to the south. If you want to go to the east, I'll go to the west. But don't let us fight. We are brothers. The world has to see unity." And one of the results then is a positive example to the world. And then a ministry that becomes effective. The first part of verse 3, like the dew of Hermon, and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. The ministry becomes effective, and the Lord's blessing becomes evident. The Lord's blessing becomes evident. I'm going to close. I want to give you this example that I've noted in the Word of God. In the book of Joshua, when Joshua and the army of Israel went up against Jericho, they marched around the walls, the entire army, and they defeated Jericho. After that, there was another little town, not too far away, a few people. And so some of the men said, "Now, Joshua, don't let all the army go up there and fight against that little place Ai. Just send a few thousand people, and we can take care of that." And Joshua did that. And one of the results was defeat. 36 people were killed. Now, I know, Achan had sinned. I know that. But there is still a principle noted there. God works primarily when his people are together. And so after the sin was cleared away and dealt with, it says in chapter 8, I think, that all the army of Israel went up against Ai. Not a few thousand, but all of them went up. And they defeated the country, or they defeated the town. Because, you see, there is a principle there where God blesses primarily. Now, he's God, but primarily he blesses where his people are unified. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for God, for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is there the Lord commands the blessing. May we strive then. May we endeavor, strive together for the faith of the gospel, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Don't let the devil get in and disrupt us, beloved. He is trying. Don't let him do it. Let's continue to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word and for the fact that where your people are together, blessings are inevitable. Because thy word says it is there that you command the blessing. It is not only blessing among your people, but blessing through your people to others. Therefore, we pray that you'll help us to give ourselves to the maintenance of unity amongst thy people, that nothing would get in to interrupt and disrupt the unity that you expect to be amongst us, that your blessing might continue to be with us, yea, only in a greater measure, as we continue to trust you and seek to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Thank you for our coming together this evening. Thank you for each one present. And we pray that something has been said that would be used by the Spirit to minister to each of us. And Lord, if there be any in our midst and are not saved. Oh, we talked about brethren, we talked about being born again, Father, and we pray that they might realize that this is the only way to become a part of the family of God. And when one is a part of the family of God,